You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
How would you respond if your brothers hated you for no reason and instead of killing you, they decided to throw you into a pit and sell you as a slave in Egypt? About 13 years later, there's a famine in the land and you stored up grain and have plenty of food to sell or give away. And your brothers show up at your door asking you for food so they can survive. How will you respond? Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Jesus in Genesis podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. Please tell a friend and please share this podcast. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. We want you to study, to show yourself approved by God. We want you to always be ready to give a defense and a reason to anyone that asks about the hope that is within you. And we want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know why you believe it. Our ministry broadcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to return of Christ in the book of Revelation. And you can subscribe and access all of our previous podcasts, broadcasts, and Bible lessons on our Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our Bible lesson podcasts are also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So let's start with a few scriptures. Jesus Christ was disputing with the Jews that sought to kill him in John chapter 5, and he said, "The scriptures testify about me. If you believe Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words?" Let me give you one more scripture. The resurrected Jesus Christ had a discussion with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and it says, "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Jesus said to them, 'These are my words, which I spoke with you while I was still with you, that everything written about me, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms,'" he's talking about the Old Testament, "'concerning me must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures." So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ stated that Moses wrote about him. Jesus Christ stated that the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms were written about him. And Jesus Christ stated that the entire Old Testament is about him. In our Jesus in Genesis series, we are studying the entire book of Genesis chapter by chapter and pointing out the work of Jesus Christ and the implications of the work of Jesus Christ in our COVID-19 pandemic world we live in today. And I have news for you. God's word is just as relevant, and God's word is just as needed today as it has ever been. And God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we too might understand the scriptures. So let's get started with today's lesson. In our previous lesson in Genesis 42 and 43, the famine was all over the earth. Joseph was previously sold by his brothers as a slave in Egypt, and he has had great favor with God. Joseph has become the governor over all the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And Egypt is the only country with grain, and Joseph is the administrator over all the sales and distribution of grain. Joseph's brothers have shown up to purchase grain from him. About 13 years have passed since they've seen him and threw him into a pit and sold him as a slave, and they don't know whether he's dead or alive. Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize Joseph, and Joseph did not reveal his true identity to them. Since then, Joseph has assimilated into the culture of the Egyptians with respect to his clothing, his speech, and his mannerisms. And furthermore, Joseph speaks to them through an interpreter, and the brothers believe that he does not understand or can speak Hebrew. Joseph has accused his brothers of being spies on their first trip to Egypt, and as a condition for his brothers to continue purchasing food in Egypt, Joseph demanded that they bring their youngest brother Benjamin with them to prove that they were honest men and were not spies. Jacob reluctantly agreed, and they had a successful second trip to Egypt. So chapter 43, in our last lesson, ended with the sons of Jacob eating and drinking with Joseph and then departing from Egypt with a load of grain for the families, still not knowing that Joseph, the governor of the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, is actually their brothers. And we've titled today's lesson, Genesis 44 and 45, The Revelation in Genesis. So let's pick up in the first three verses. Joseph is commanding his stewards to fill up each of his brother's sacks with food and put their money back in their sacks and to put Joseph's silver cup in Benjamin's sack. So what is he doing? He's testing his brothers to see how they will respond to additional adversity. Joseph orders his stewards to overtake his brothers and ask them, why have they repaid evil for good? Why have they taken Joseph's cup? The brothers stated that they're not thieves. Then they found that their money was still in their sacks. They maintained that they are innocent, and they did not know at that time that Joseph had set them up. They state that if it is found that any one of them has stolen his cup, that brother would die and that the rest of them would be Joseph's servants. The servant agreed to the deal, and he searched each man's sack, and he found Joseph's cup in Benjamin's sack. The brothers tore their clothes and returned back to the city to face Joseph. They came into his house, they bowed down on the ground before him, and Joseph asked them, why did they steal from him? Judah becomes a spokesperson for the brothers, and he asks, how could they clear themselves that they would be his servants? And Joseph said that only Benjamin would be his servant, and all the other brothers can go home. Judah asked to speak with Joseph one more time. Joseph asked them if they have a father or a brother, and Judah says that their father's old, and that they have a younger brother of his old age, and that his other brother is dead. Judah recounts that Joseph himself had asked him to bring Benjamin so that he could see them. Judah continued recounting to Joseph the reason why Benjamin had come with them on the second trip to buy grain. Judah continues pleading their case for the release of Benjamin to Joseph, and he tells Joseph that if Benjamin does not return home with them, their father will surely die. Judah explains to Joseph that he personally made a pledge to his father that he would make sure that Benjamin returns home, or that he would take the blame solely on him. He offers to give himself up for Benjamin. He offers to lay down his life for his brother Benjamin so that Benjamin could return back to his father Jacob. And Genesis chapter 44 ends with Judah in a Christ-like manner offering to Joseph to take his life for the sake of his brother Benjamin and his father Jacob. He would willingly bear all the sin and all the guilt that his brothers had done to Joseph, and would become a sin and a curse for all of his brothers, so that Benjamin could go free and that Jacob would still live. So now let's continue with Genesis 45. We're in the first three verses. So the brothers are facing Joseph, and Joseph is overcome with emotion, and he cannot control himself. So he commanded all of his servants, leave the room. And Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loud that all the servants heard him. Joseph told his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers were astonished and surprised, and they could not answer them. And they were afraid that Joseph would avenge himself on them. Joseph told his brothers to come close. Check me out. See, I am your brother Joseph, the one that you sold to Egypt. But do not be stressed because you sold me here, because God sent me before you to preserve life. It's all about God. The famine has been for 2 years, but there are 5 more years of famine with no plowing and no harvest. And that reminds me of Romans 8:28. And it says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, for them who've been called according to his purpose. If your brothers, your mother, your father, everyone sells you out, it will work to your good if you are called according to your purpose. If you believe in God, you have the spiritual covering, the spiritual backup over you, that whatever they do, throw you into a pit, stab you in the back, whatever it is, all things, not some things, not most things, all things work together for the good of them that love Christ, for them who are called according to his purpose. So let's continue in Genesis 45. We're in verses 7 through 9 now. Joseph says that God sent him to Egypt to preserve you for a remnant on the earth and to keep you alive. He said that his brothers did not send him to Egypt, but God did. God has kept him alive so that they could survive. And he said that it was not them, but God that is involved in this whole scenario. God is all in it. And God has made him a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. And hurry and tell my father Jacob that God has made me lord over all of Egypt, and come down to me and do not delay. Verses 10 through 12. And tell my father Jacob that you can live in Goshen and you will be near me. Bring your children and your grandchildren and your flocks and your herds and everything that you have. I will provide for you because there are 5 more years of the famine to come. And he told Benjamin, look at me. See with your eyes, you see who I am. This is me speaking to you. And by the way, Joseph was speaking to them in Hebrew to make sure that they knew who he was. So now in verses 13 through 15, tell Jacob of all my honor in Egypt, hurry and bring him down here. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept. And Benjamin wept on Joseph's neck. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after this, his brothers talked with him. When Pharaoh heard the news about Joseph's brothers, it pleased him. And Pharaoh told Joseph to tell his brothers to go back to Canaan and bring their father and bring his entire household to Egypt. And they will be given the best of the land in Egypt. And Pharaoh tells Joseph to take wagons from the land of Egypt and bring back Jacob and all of his household. And Pharaoh gave Joseph's brothers wagons and provisions for the journey. Verses 22 to 24. Joseph, in addition to all that, gave all of them a change of clothes and some money. Joseph sent for his father. For his father specifically, he sent 20 donkeys loaded with goods from Egypt and grain and bread and provision for the journey. He sent his brothers away. And as they departed, he told them, do not quarrel along the way. So Joseph, in essence, is telling his brothers as they go back home to tell daddy the revelation in Genesis, as they go back home to tell his brothers that do not recount the evil and what you did to me and who was more guilty than the others. The matter is over. I'm through with it. It's forgotten. Keep it going. Keep it moving. Genesis 25 to 28, the brothers arrived back in Canaan. They told Jacob that Joseph, their son, is still alive. Not only Joseph, his beloved son of his old age, not only Joseph is still alive, but Joseph is the ruler over all the land of Egypt, next only to Pharaoh. Think about that. And Jacob was just blown away. It was hard for him to process this startling revelation. And the brothers told Jacob that Joseph wanted their entire household to come to Egypt. And when Jacob saw all the wagons and the entourage that had sent for him and his household, his spirit was revived. And guess what Jacob said? He said, it is enough that my son Joseph is still alive, but I'm going to Egypt and I'm going to see him before I die. So I have a question for you. Where is Jesus in Genesis 44 and 45? It's nearly impossible to examine the life of Joseph in the Old Testament and not see the similarities in the events in the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Joseph gives us a clear picture of Jesus Christ in so many ways. Let's take a closer look. Joseph was the firstborn of Jacob and Rachel, his beloved, previously barren wife of who he had to work 14 years to marry. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, and Jesus Christ is the firstborn over all creation. Joseph was sold for silver. Jesus was sold for silver. Joseph dreamed that the sun, the moon, and the stars would bow down to him. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that's Philippians 2:10. Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt. The baby Jesus had to escape to Egypt to escape King Herod, who wanted to kill him. They stripped Joseph of his garments. They stripped Jesus of his garments. Joseph was loved by his father. God said that Jesus is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Joseph's brothers did not believe him and hated him. The Jews did not believe Jesus Christ and they hated him. Joseph's brothers rejected his right to rule over them. The Jewish leaders said, "We will not have this man Jesus rule over us." That's Luke 19:14. Joseph's brothers conspired against him. They took counsel and conspired to kill Jesus Christ. The blood that was supposedly Joseph's was presented to Jacob as evidence that Joseph was dead in Genesis 37:31. Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us. Joseph had committed no crime and was falsely accused. Many gave false testimony against Jesus Christ, Mark 14:56. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife and did not sin. Jesus Christ is our high priest who was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin, Hebrews 4:15. Potiphar places Joseph in prison for a crime that he did not commit. The chief priests and the elders arrested Jesus Christ for a crime that he did not commit. God will work out the suffering of Joseph for the good of the children of Israel, Genesis 45. God will work out the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross for the good of all of us who believe on him, and we will be saved. Joseph praised God in the presence of Pharaoh as he interpreted his dreams. Jesus Christ praised God and obediently did the will of his father. Pharaoh highly exalted Joseph from being a foreigner, from being a slave, from being a prisoner, to become second in command of all of Egypt. And at the name of Joseph, every knee had to bow in Egypt. In Philippians 2, God highly exalted Jesus Christ and gave him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Joseph ate a meal with his 11 brothers, Genesis 43:34. Jesus had his last supper with his disciples. Joseph showed love, compassion, and forgiveness for his brothers who had done evil towards him. Christ has shown forgiveness and salvation for us. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Joseph was stripped of his clothes and thrown into a pit. Jesus Christ was stripped of his clothes and buried in the grave. Joseph rose from the pit and had all power in Egypt in his hands. Jesus Christ rose from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Joseph lived, and Jacob could, and Israel, because Joseph lived, could face their tomorrows, and all fear from the famine was gone. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Because of Jesus, all fear is gone, and life is worth the living just because he lives. So far in our series, we've mentioned the Christ-like examples of Joseph in Genesis 37 through 45. But I have some good news for you. There are five more chapters in Genesis, and Joseph will be one of the main characters discussed. There are many more Christ-like examples of Joseph that we will discuss in the upcoming chapters in Genesis. Joseph is a type of Christ. Jesus is in Genesis. I have some more good news for you. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God is making good on all of his promises. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. God is the same tomorrow. God is the same forever. And just like God never left Jacob and Joseph, God will never leave us or forsake us, regardless of the challenges that we're facing daily. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's our lesson for today. Genesis 44 and 45, the revelation in Genesis. As we face the global pandemic of COVID-19 at the start of this new year, we need to remember that God is still in control. God is still on the throne. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who've been called according to his purpose. Jacob and Joseph had a spiritual backup in today's lesson. All Christians have a spiritual backup in our COVID-19 world of today. And if you're not safe, I'm offering you the spiritual covering of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will give you the spiritual support, the spiritual backup, and the spiritual strength needed as we face the uncertain days ahead of us in this new year and in the years to come. Romans 10:9-11 says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So if you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the grave. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray that you created me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life and that I will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of salvation, welcome to the body of Christ. Many churches are not open right now, and we understand that many churches will not return to regular church services in their sanctuaries until the virus is under control. In light of this reality, here are our recommended next steps after salvation. Number one, visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Salvation tab and read the information on salvation and the next steps after salvation. You should read your Bible daily. You should pray daily. You should listen to a church online each Sunday. And when the virus is under control and you feel that it is safe for you to worship again in the church building, join a church where Jesus Christ is being preached. Ask your church to assign an experienced member to mentor and disciple you, and be baptized to publicly confess the spiritual change that has taken place in your life. And if you have any questions about our recommended next steps after salvation for new believers in our current COVID-19 climate, or if you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, please send me an email at drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's D-R-B-E-N, Dr. Ben, at foundationalbtm.org. Why? Because I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to know why you believe it.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
There are three ways you can give to support the ongoing work of this ministry. Please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab and make a tax-free donation of any amount, and you will be blessed and you will be a blessing to others. You can make a Cash App donation to our ministry at Dr. Ben Pennington, or you could mail your donation to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Post Office Box 1712. That's P.O. Box 1712, Austell, Georgia 30168. But don't go. Let me give you a preview of our next podcast. In our next podcast, Jacob decides to take his entire household of his sons and their wives and their children and their sheep and their livestock and everything that he has with them to Egypt. And there are 5 more years left in the famine. In total, Jacob's house consisted of 70 people. So I have a few questions for you. Why did Jacob stop to offer sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac at Beersheba as they were traveling to Egypt? Jacob's first three sons were Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Once they arrived in Egypt, why did Jacob send Judah, his fourth-born son, before them to Joseph to let him know that they had arrived? Jacob and his household were shepherds. Why were shepherds considered an abomination to Pharaoh and Egyptians? Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world at that time. Hebrews 7:7 talks about Melchizedek blessing Abraham and said that the lesser Abraham was blessed by the greater Melchizedek. So why did Jacob bless Pharaoh? How did Joseph end up centralizing all of the money in Egypt? Why did Jacob make Joseph swear that he would bury him in Canaan in the burial plot purchased by his grandfather Abraham? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions and much more in our next Jesus in Genesis podcast, which we've titled Genesis 46 and 47, The Exodus in Genesis. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.